Okay, sixth episode in our study of the book of Revelation. So, where were we last week? What do we remember?
Seven spirits.
Can't get that out of your head. That's all we talked about? I mean, we'll get there. We've got to start at the seven spirits. That was your assignment. We were in the fifth chapter. We talked about the scroll in the hand of him who was seated on the throne. And how many seals were on that scroll?
Seven.
Interesting. And what did we say that the scroll was? Or what did we speculate? Because it doesn't clearly identify it.
The deed of the earth.
Title deed to the earth, or perhaps title deed to mankind, or something of that nature. Something really important, because the only one that was worthy was the lion of the tribe of Judah. And we saw the lion, and what did he look like?
A lamb
that was slain. So we talked a little bit about a paradox, what a paradox was, something that looks like something, but it's really something else. How could this be? How could the lion of the tribe of Judah be just a slain lamb? How can God dwell in impenetrable light and yet also dwell in darkness? What's that?
Boat shoes,
a pair of docks. Oh, ba-boom, boom, boom. Yes, Kathy.
Well, my translation in verse 6 says that I saw them.
The Bible according to Kathy?
Yes, exactly. I wrote this. Looking as if it had been slain.
Yes, looking as if it had been slain.
So, but then it says standing in the center of the throne. So, you know what I'm saying?
Well, the Antichrist also is going to look as if he's slain. So what does that mean? If you looked at Jesus after he was resurrected and you saw a big gash in his side and nail prints on his hands and his feet, he'd look like he was slain, but yet he was alive again.
Right.
So looking as if it had been slain, if it was a sacrificial lamb, it would have had its throat slit. It would have had blood on it, but yet it was up and about. So I think that that's a way of saying that. So here we have the lion of the tribe of Judah. Who's the lion of the tribe of Judah?
Jesus.
Who's the lamb that was slain?
Jesus.
How could they both be the same? How could this lion, this powerful being, how could Jesus be the lamb that was slain and yet be the person with a glowing face and flaming sword coming out of his mouth? How can he be that?
Because he's meek.
Because he's what?
Meek.
Because he is. Because that's who he is. God Almighty sent the Son to die for the sins of the world, so that he, by his overcoming, he would be worthy to take that scroll, which is title deed to the earth, title deed to the creation, title deed to our very lives. And so while he's this incredibly meek and humble person, he's also the most powerful in the universe. Yes, Kathy. Different Kathy.
Cat.
You want to be Cat? I'm sorry. Cat. I don't know. I started calling you Kathy recently. It's so confusing.
You're confused.
Yes, it's me.
Well,
Mrs. Lynch.
The first time that the Lord came, he came as the lamb. But the second time he comes, he'll be coming as the lion. That's
no doubt.
How I see it.
No doubt, because he's not identified here as the Lamb of God. He's identified as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who overcame. So I agree. But it's still a paradox. I mean, God who created the universe and is going to judge all mankind is also the one that sent the Son to die for all mankind. It's a paradox. Okay? What else do we remember from that chapter?
He has seven horns and seven eyes.
Seven horns and seven eyes. Quite the lamb. Okay. And remember there was this incredible worship too. Okay, so so that brings us to our problem. So have you all done your research? Just to remind us, the question was, what was the sevenfold spirit or the seven spirits of God? Where is that verse?
Six.
Yes, verse 6. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, or another translation is a sevenfold spirit of God. And the question was raised, where do we see that? And my response was, I can't come up with a scripture. And there were a couple of scriptures brought forth, and then Lance brought us to Isaiah chapter 11, and we had some discussion about how there it is, the sevenfold, seven different spirits. But I contend that the language, let's look at that, Revelation, Isaiah 11. Because we can't make this stuff up. If it's not in there, it's not in there. So chapter 11, verse 1, a shoot will come from the stump of Jesse, from his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Okay, so like the lamb, the tree is cut down. But from that dead lamb comes the resurrection. So from this stump comes a branch which will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. So I count only six. And what I know about the way Hebrew works, it's very common. It's almost like an artistic or poetic form to say, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, and then expound upon what the Spirit of the Lord would be. So I've got wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. I only got six. What'd you find, Haluski? I know you spent time with it.
I did spend time with it. I found it was six. I found quite a few other places throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, which gave references to the spirits given by the Lord in a good sense, not a spirit.
Right.
Only one place, reading one version, had the Dewey Rains version mentioned had seven in it, but it had thrown in a spirit of God in it.
But it's not in the text.
No. And, well, they had it in their text.
Yes, but they made it up.
Because
I could show you the Hebrew. It's not in there.
Yeah, it's not in there.
So we have to be careful when we're trying to find stuff that we don't stretch it and we don't make it up. I don't know if you noticed when you came in, I had the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance open. There's a page and a half on seven, the number seven. A page and a half in really small print. Okay? So I did a cursory little study. I did not even stretch to sevenfold or anything there, and I just got tired after the ones I wrote down. Okay, we got seven seals in Revelation. We got 7 days in a week. We got seven cows and seven ears of corn in the Joseph incident in Egypt. We got seven times 10 years. Ten consistently in biblical numerology is judgment. So seven times 10 is 70 years that they went into captivity. And that happened because of their failure to keep the sabbatical 7-year cycle where they allowed the land to rest. So God judged it and locked them up for 70 years. Okay, we've got the blood of the covenant. They sprinkled the altar seven times. We've got offerings at the Feast of Tabernacle that comes in sevens, and on and on and on and on. So my best take on that is this: it's the sevenfold spirit of God, seven being a number of completion, a completed cycle. So
it was even like one of the guys in Genesis that lived to be 777 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, you know, sevens, it's a number.
We're supposed to be in 7 years.
And it seems to be a good number of completion or fullness, if you will. So if the lamb has seven horns and seven eyes, which are the sevenfold or the fullness of the Spirit of God, is the way I would read it. What about? Yes.
Spirit of death.
No. Oh, yeah. To pass through, yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you can go on, and as Lance and I talked about it a little bit Monday night, you can come up with more than seven things, the spirit of. So, you know, I'm not a big one to write into symbolism as opposed to literal, but if you can't come up with a literal, then there's a pretty good chance it's a symbol. And that's my take on it. It's speaking of the, you know, on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 7 days you will not have leaven found in your homes. You know, first fruits, you know, the Feast of Weeks, 70, you know, 7 times 7, 49, you know, and then the day after. There's a lot of sevens in the Bible, a lot of sevens in the Bible. So I believe that that is representative of the fullness of the Spirit of God, which is embodied in the Lamb. And, you know, we have that Colossians scripture, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's got the whole package. Okay? And we also talked about judgment. We went back to the Gospel of John, and we had talked about, you know, chapter 5 we read, and we talked about that the Father wasn't going to judge the earth, but he was going to leave that to Jesus because he is the Son of Man. So what would that mean? Why would Jesus, as the Son of Man, judge mankind?
Because he knew what it was like to be a man.
Ah, excellent, Kathy. Oh, winner, you get a star. Give her a star, counselor. All right, then a sip from your wine. That's too late. Or give her your empty wine glass.
Ouch. Not to mention the empty.
Greater love hath no man than to give his wife the empty wine glass. So that's a very excellent answer, though, that God has reserved judgment of mankind to the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who is also the Lamb that was slain. Because nobody's going to be able to say, oh, God, you just don't know how hard it was. That woman you gave me. Or whatever. Because he lived the life and he overcame. And he was obedient and faithful. Okay, any other questions on chapter 5 before we move on to the seals?
What is a horn and what is an eye?
What is a horn and what is an eye? Oh man, you don't know the difference between the eyes. These are the eyes right here.
Look up there, that's a horn.
Yes, that's a horn up there. And the things below it are eyes. Well, the eye generally represents anything ranging from the inner spirit of man. You know, if your eye is single, you know.
Yeah.
And horns are fairly consistently representative of authority. So he's got the fullness of authority, the sevenfold horns, and he's got the all-seeing in the sense of the sevenfold eyes. So that would be my take on those. Any other questions before we plunge into chapter 6? No? Okay. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come!" And I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, not an Uzi, by the way, a bow. Sorry, you got the wrong weapons, Dane. Oh, you got that also? All right, fine. Never mind, I should have known. I apologize. He was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. So who besides Joy would like to give a take on who that is, what that is?
It symbolizes the Antichrist coming to conquer. You know, Jesus has already conquered. He is, and we are more than conquerors because of what he's done. This other man is going to come in kind of a trying to mimic Jesus.
Maybe. I'll tell you what I did in one of my Bibles, this one right here. In chapter 6, there's these headings. It says, the book opened, the first seal. And I crossed out what it said the first seal said, because it said the false Christ. And then the second seal said war, and I crossed that out. And the third seal said famine, and I crossed that out. And so on and so forth. Because I don't like that. I don't, not the doctrine necessarily, but I don't like those headings, because they mess you up. Now, I this will probably be the first time for me to be in conflict with all of the theologians and wise men, but I don't think that the first rider is the Antichrist. So, turn to Revelation chapter 14. No, that's not it. Wait a minute, let me look. All right, turn to 14:2 and let's see what that one says. Nope, that's not the right one. Let's turn to chapter 19, verse 11. Chapter 19, verse 11 says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen and white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Call me crazy, but I think that the first seal releases Jesus to conquest and to begin his battle. Yes, sir?
I think it's Christ also, because in verse 2 it says, I looked and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown and rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. If it was the Antichrist, who would hand him anything? Because he runs his own show.
Right.
This one received something from
And that's my take on it. I've never heard anybody else have that take on it. I'm sure somebody else has had it or holds that thought. But I believe that the beginning of the end is not... I don't think the devil's in charge of anything. And when the seals are broken, I think that there's a conquest that's going to begin. And the conquest is the conquest of the Antichrist, but it's also going to be a conquest of evangelism, if you will. So I think, it's my opinion, it's not going to matter whether I'm right or not in this matter, but I don't like that that Antichrist on a white horse deal with a crown. I don't think so. The only places I've seen, let's see, I had another scripture I want to look at. Let's look at Psalm 45. Psalm 45. My heart is stirred by a noble theme. as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. You are most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace, since God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your side, O mighty one. Clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride forth victoriously in behalf of truth, humility, and righteousness. Let your right hand display awesome deeds. It goes on, but I think that the white horse is the beginning of the end for the devil and his henchmen, and the beginning of the harvest of the kingdom of God. My opinion. That's my case. I'm pleading my case, man. Chapter 17, verse 4 in Revelation. Is really a bad verse. Don't read that. I don't have any idea why I had that one. 17 verse 4. Nope. Okay. So, that's my opinion on that. He rides out as a conqueror. He's bent on conquest. Up to this point, Jesus hasn't rode out in conquest. He hasn't begun any battle. There's been no really... Since, he went to heaven, where he waits until the appropriate time. What's it say in the book of Acts? Where heaven must hold him until the times are filled? Or let's see. That's chapter 2 of Acts, right? Verse 32, God raised Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses to that. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out on you what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at the right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Anyway, someplace in there. He says that the heavens must hold him until the time that God has set forth. And I believe that that's the beginning of his release of the battle. But I'm certainly not going to fall out with anybody who thinks it's the Antichrist. Okay? So, verse...
When he comes, that everybody's going to see him, and he's going...
Yeah, but I don't see that he's coming at that point. We see that later in the book. This is happening... It just says he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. It doesn't say that he's on the earth or anything. It could be the beginning of the heavenly battles.
But if you think of it in terms of chronological or literal, then I don't see how it fits Jesus for that. I mean,
well, it fits.
Did you have to say Jesus is going to return?
Well, I don't see. See,
do something in the heavenlies that nowhere else is described in Scripture in between his first coming and his second coming.
My take on it is that this is like the beginning. It's the beginning and spirit of evangelism. But like I said, I'm not going to fall out on anybody. I also don't see any place where the Antichrist, if you're going to hold that, then how's that? How does that apply to the Antichrist?
I don't see how it applies to the Antichrist either.
So,
like things that are happening on the earth.
And I believe one of the first things that's going to happen is the beginning of the conquest of the hearts of men, because the 70th week of Daniel, a lot of people think the Great Tribulation is 7 years, but the Great Tribulation is actually 3.5 years of that 70th week. So what happens in the first half of that, the first 3.5 years? I think that what's going to happen is things are going to get so bad on earth that men's hearts are going to begin to you know, as they are now. And I don't mean, you know, things falling from the sky and stuff like that and scorpions. That happens later on in the book. We'll see all of that. But right now, men's hearts are failing them because of fear. Oh, what's going to happen? You know, whether you're on the liberal side and you think that global warming is going to destroy the earth, or you're on the conservative side and you think the government's going to destroy the earth, however it is, people are getting all stirred up. We're getting all upset. And you know what? When people are in crisis, that's when they come to God or they curse him. So I think that that's the beginning where he starts. He goes out. What's he going to conquer? He's going to conquer the hearts of men. And people are going to be all stirred up, and it's already happening. For all we know, the first seal could have been broken. And the conqueror is going forth. Because you know what? There are people getting saved all over the planet. Just because it's not happening in the Western nations where there's a hardness of heart does not mean that it's not happening. You've got people right now standing up to the Muslims in faith and dying for it. But he is conquering the hearts of men. So you can run that around in your minds and hearts. It's doesn't really matter, because whoever it is, when that seal is opened, or if that seal has been opened, he's riding out to conquer. Okay, verse 3, when the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. That's not happening now, is it? So what if the first seal's already been broken and the second seal's already been broken? To him was given a large sword. So let's look at Zechariah 1:8. And it says, during the night I had a vision, and there before me was a man riding a red horse. He was standing among the myrtle trees in a ravine. Behind him were red, brown, and white horses. The angel I was talking with me answered me, "I will show you what they are." Then a man standing among the myrtle trees explained, "These are the ones the Lord has sent to go throughout the earth." And they reported to the angel of the Lord, who was standing among the myrtle trees, "We have gone throughout the earth and have found the whole world at peace and rest." By the way, regarding the conqueror, you know, Joy alluded to a scripture in Exodus at the Passover, the first Passover, where God says, "I myself will pass among them." But, you know, a lot of times when God says, "I myself," he means his angel, his messenger. It's a language issue. So, because Jesus is the Lamb that's cutting the seal, and yet you have this white horse. So, some of that's a little obscure. Chapter 6, verse 2, same book. Verse 1, I looked up again, and there before me were four chariots coming out from between two mountains, mountains of bronze. The first chariot had red horses, the second black, the third white, and the fourth dappled, all of them powerful. I asked the angel who was speaking to me, "What are these, my lord?" The angel answered me, "These are the four spirits of the heavens gone out from standing in the presence of the Lord of the whole world." So, we've seen these horses or their like before. So the second one that comes out is red. Matthew 10:34. Sometimes I wake up at night trembling, thinking, I hope I quote the right scriptures. Matthew 10:34 says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. If anyone who loves his father or mother more than me, if anyone loves his father or mother more than me, he is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. The truth is, I don't really know who these writers are. But I'm not quick to accept the theologian's version. I wouldn't at all be surprised if the rider on the white horse is Jesus releasing an end-time move of evangelism, going out to conquer. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the rider on the red horse is sent by God through Jesus to take peace from the earth. And I wouldn't be surprised if both of those horses were already released. It's later than you think, children. Again, opinion, but I don't find my version any worse than the versions that some of these other people have come up with. I think that this stuff is going to be revealed as we go. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. The rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures say, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." And I am so thankful for that. Let's just give thanks now. Thank you, Lord, for the oil and the wine. You know, the reason I crossed those headings out in my Bible was because it's not helpful to you to read the scripture with preconceived ideas. Because when you do, then you don't say things like, "Lord, what does this mean?" You say in your mind and in your heart, "Oh, I know what this means." And I think that's a dangerous place. Because if you walk with the Lord for any length of time and you read the scripture, you're going to read those same scriptures over and over and over again. And when we start knowing what it means, we lose the humility of saying, "Lord, I'm your servant, teach me." Not a good thing for us. So what do we think the rider holding a pair of scales is?
Justice.
Could be justice.
Maybe not the first one. You know, something I'm noticing here too is the first horse goes out with like the first living creature. Out of the four living creatures, each one speaks for each one. So maybe the first living creature is the one on the horse, and the second living creature is the one on the second horse.
We're going to have to come up with some extra living creatures then.
No,
it's only four.
Oh, you mean with the horses? Okay, I see. It could be. It could be. I don't know, but I have a hard time seeing the conqueror on the white horse being given a crown being the Antichrist. The only one I ever see anywhere in the scripture on a white horse given a crown with a sword is Jesus. And that's where I came to my conclusion. But again, you know, I'm not trying to tell you what it is. I'm trying to get you to learn how to read the Bible with an open heart and an open mind so that God can speak to you. You know, we've talked about this before. I don't have all the answers except Friday night. Sometimes the answers on Friday night are, "I don't know." And we need to be bold enough to confess our lack of knowledge of everything and to go to the Father and ask him to give us revelation. I don't think it really matters if we know these things, but it does matter that we read the scripture with an open mind and an open heart. Because we're a body, God will choose to speak through whatever cells in the body he wants to give us the revelation that we need. And as we read through this, I believe that, you know, if we read it in faith, God's going to give us great confidence to walk through whatever it is that we have to walk through. Because we're going to see, in the front of the book of Revelation, I wrote, not in this Bible, but yeah, in this Bible, the big picture. That's what the book of Revelation is to me. It's the big picture. God's in charge. He's got my best interest in his heart and in his mind. He's in control. And now at this point, he's going to begin to establish his control. The enemy is released to deceive because that's what he does. And judgment will come forth because men will choose to believe a lie rather than the obvious truth that God has laid out before their very eyes. So, most scholars would tell you that the third horse is famine. And I don't have as much of a problem with that one, particularly because the scales are used to weigh out foodstuffs. Okay, a quart of wheat, 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages. 3 quarts of barley is about enough to feed a couple of people leanly. You could make, you know, a decent barley stew, but that's it for a day's wages. You worked all day, so you have enough to just about feed your family. But apparently you can still have wine with it. And you got some oil to cook it with. No skins. You will have to use the skins to get more oil, Greg. I'm sorry. There will be no skins on your chicken during the Great Tribulation. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death. And Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. So the first two horses could be released. Spirit of evangelism, if that's what it is, gone forth to conquer. The rider with a sword to take peace from the earth. Because there is no place that there's peace on this earth. Either here we live in what should be the most secure country in the world, the wealthiest country in the world, and people are afraid to go to the mall. They're afraid to send their children to school because some lunatic's going to go crazy. For what? Break into a kindergarten class and shoot babies? I mean, I believe that those two could already be happening. And there is famine in a number of places, but I think when that rider goes forth, famine's going to spread throughout the earth. And when the pale rider goes out and his name is Death and Hades follow close behind him, he's given power over a fourth of the earth, 25% of the earth, to kill by sword, famine, plague, and the wild beasts of the earth. Yes, Kat.
Did you see that news we brought it up on the internet. There was a broadcast, just some news station that was over there broadcasting in Egypt when they were having all those riots and they were throwing those cocktails, yeah, and there was an apparition that came forth from there. I mean, they caught it on the film, and it was a pale horse. It was a green horse, and the rider on it was riding backwards, but it was a very ghostly
Didn't see that, but if it was on the internet, it has to be true.
It was just a
I understand. I believe when the third and fourth horses come forth, when the third and fourth seals are broken, there'll be little doubt that something unusual is happening. Famine spreading more and more than in one or two places, but other parts of the world can fill the gap if we wanted to. Because we throw more corn away into the ocean every year, or plow it back under. We've got enough to feed everybody still, but who knows for how long. And there's some little activity of animals acting weird, but when that fourth rider goes forth, he's not only given power to kill a fourth of the earth by sword and by famine, but also by plague and wild beasts of the earth. So some really strange stuff is going to start happening when those next two guys come forth. Yes?
Could that first rider be like a prelude to what the Antichrist is going to, like when he establishes his kingdom? I mean, we're going to fall for thinking that. I mean, I know you say it could be Jesus, but it could be what we think is Jesus, but not really. And he's going.
Which is what a lot of the scholars say, that it's a false Christ.
But I mean, the beautiful, how, you know, he's going to present himself.
Again, that's another take. It could be, I've already expressed what my problems are with that aspect of it. But sure, it could be. You know, I'm the king. Because if you remember earlier on, in fact, the last 2 weeks, I said I believe that the battle is going to be over who Jesus is. And I believe that the devil is going to exalt himself as God. The Antichrist is going to exalt himself as the anti-Messiah, the fake Messiah. And probably, you know, the false prophet as the move of the false spirit. So I do believe that that's going to happen. I don't know. I can't really identify it. Yes, Chris? Isn't this fun? Well, that's why I said we need to try to stay as close to Scripture as we can. Otherwise, it's just opinion.
This says this particular horse has authority over a fourth of mankind to kill. It doesn't say he kills a fourth of mankind, but he does have authority over them to kill.
That's true. It doesn't say that. A fourth of the earth, it says. And that could be 1 in 25, or it could be a quarter, this area here, or this area here, or this area here.
It says the earth, it could be anything, like creatures of the sea and air. I mean, it could be anything.
Don't go back in the water. Donna, Donna, Donna. Yes, Dane.
The translation I'm reading says, speaking of the pale horse, that death and Hades followed with him, and there was given unto them authority over a fourth part of the earth. Plural.
Death and Hades.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or maybe more than one horse.
Two riders here. Yeah, it says him and his companion.
Yeah, you know, the great
sounds all.
The great thing about being a man of faith and reading a scripture like this is I don't have to answer all these questions. I don't know. The thing that I know, the thing that I hold to, is the big picture, which is the one that's revealing all this is the guy with the head that glows like bronze with the flaming sword, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who is the Lamb that was slain. He's the one that's revealing this to John, and that should give us great confidence. Which you may maintain for a week. Yes, Chris?
I knew I saw the silver. Verse 13 of chapter 20 said, you know, this is at the great white throne judgment.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them.
Yes.
And they were death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire.
But not till the 20th chapter.
Now, but it's interesting, the two names were put together again. Not just in the fourth seal, but there too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it means, but
that's... Well, thanks for raising another question.
One thing we can all agree on is the forecast calls for pain.
You know, again, a lot of people don't read this because it stirs up fear in them. I'm telling you, this time going through it, I'm just being overwhelmed with the peace of the Lord. He's my Lord. He's in charge. If I'm to die during the Great Tribulation, I'm going to die. And I'm going to die in faith. He's in charge. We can have confidence. This is the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who overcame. He's the one worthy. And these seals are releasing the scroll that holds title deed to our lives. Trust in Him. Be people of faith. Lance.
Yeah, and remember, it is a... If you don't read it with the peace of the Lord, you just read it, it can scare the believers out of you. But the purpose for it is to prepare the believers to awaken us so we don't get caught off guard. So when these things start coming, they don't freak us out. It's like, I've read that, I'm aware of it, and the Word of God is true, and it just builds our faith. It doesn't freak us out. It prepares us for what's inevitably going to come. There's no stopping it. We will be ready as believers, prepared. I mean, I don't care if you never had read that before. I don't care who you are, what kind of faith you have. If you never heard that before, it would blow you out of the water. But if we know it's coming down the road and we're ready for it, it'll be still startling, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, it's truth, man. I knew that was coming.
We're going to have to...
It's going to preparation.
Yes, it is preparation. We have to adopt the attitude that Mordecai tried to instill in Esther, which is, what if you were born for a time such as this? Believe me, you were born for a time such as this. You've got assets, you've got children, grandchildren, you've got wives, husbands. You cannot control or protect all your assets. You're either going to be a person who lives in faith or you're not. Remember that Matthew scripture I said. He that loves his father, his mother, his sister, his brother, his children more than me is not worthy. And we have lost the concept of who God is. We were bought with a price. And if He chooses to pour us out like drink offerings, so be it. Nothing's going to come upon you that God doesn't intentionally allow or cause. So who are you going to call? Who are you going to believe? I say, I was born for a time such as this, and He's not going to tempt me or put me in a position that I can't walk through. I'm going to walk with faith with Him, in faith with Him, and to Him that overcomes... It's a long list of stuff. Let's stop there because you've gotten all you could take except you need dessert.